Welcome to Clear Text. It's Monday, August 3rd, 2026. I'm Alex Chen.
And I'm Jordan Reeves. Let's get into it.
So, Jordan, you walked into the studio this morning and said, and I quote, "The machines are writing their own exploits now." Let's start there.
Yeah. Unit 42 dropped a report over the weekend that I think every CISO needs to read before their Monday stand-up. A Chinese threat actor operating under the handles NAITH and KNYUN deployed DeepSeek and multiple other large language models to run autonomous cyber attacks against internet-facing infrastructure. Not AI-assisted, autonomous. Minimal human intervention. The AI agent was selecting targets, crafting exploits, executing the attack chain.
And the kicker is how we even know about this.
Right. The attacker's own AI agent misconfigured a file server and exposed the entire operation. The AI made an OPSEC mistake, which is almost poetic. Unit 42 got full visibility into the infrastructure, the tooling, the operational tempo. This is the most documented case we've seen of a nation-state-linked actor crossing the line from using AI as a co-pilot to deploying AI as the pilot.
So let's talk about what this actually means for defenders. If you're a CISO and your threat model still treats AI as an accelerant for human operators, you're behind. This is a fundamentally different attack cadence. An AI agent doesn't take breaks, doesn't make judgment calls the way a human does, and can scale horizontally across targets in a way that a human team simply cannot.
And it changes your detection math. Your SOC is built to detect patterns of human behavior. Dwell time, lateral movement cadence, the rhythm of a keyboard. An AI agent operating autonomously produces different telemetry. You need to be asking your detection engineering team whether their models account for machine speed, machine pattern attack sequences.
This dovetails perfectly with the CrowdStrike annual threat hunting report that also dropped today. The headline number? AI now generates 2.5 signals for every human-triggered signal that CrowdStrike analysts have to assess. So the signal-to-noise problem is not hypothetical, it's quantified.
And the other side of that CrowdStrike data is just as important. Attackers are weaponizing vulnerabilities faster than enterprise patch cycles can respond. We've been saying this for years, but now we have the data. The window between disclosure and exploitation has compressed to the point where traditional vulnerability management programs are structurally inadequate.
Which brings me to the N-able story, because this is a perfect case study of that compression. CVE-2026-18577, an authentication bypass in N-central. This is an RMM platform. If you're an MSP or you use one, N-central has privileged access to potentially thousands of downstream customer environments. Active exploitation is confirmed. And here's the part that should make you uncomfortable. N-able's first patch was incomplete. The actually fixed build, 2026.3.1.7, shipped Saturday, August 2nd.
So if you patched when the first advisory came out and moved on, you're still exposed. This is a go verify right now situation. Don't assume your MSP has handled it. Call them, confirm the build number, and audit for indicators of compromise, because attackers were already leveraging compromised N-central servers to pivot into downstream managed environments before the real fix shipped.
The MSP supply chain remains one of the highest leverage attack surfaces in enterprise security, and incidents like this are why. You inherit their risk posture whether you like it or not.
Let's stay on the supply chain theme for a second, because the Amgen breach fits here too. Amgen filed an SEC disclosure confirming that patient information and proprietary company data were accessed through a compromise of third-party cloud systems. Not Amgen's infrastructure, their vendor's infrastructure.
And this is a pattern that boards are increasingly uncomfortable with. You can have a world-class internal security program, and your risk exposure is still dictated by the weakest link in your vendor ecosystem. For CISOs in healthcare, life sciences, any regulated environment, this is a board conversation about contractual controls, right to audit clauses, and whether your vendor risk management program has actual teeth or is just a questionnaire factory.
The PNLD breach in the UK is a similar flavor. The Police National Legal Database confirmed that names, organizations, and work email addresses of police officers, government staff, and criminal justice professionals were compromised and published on the dark web. If your organization intersects with law enforcement or government criminal justice partnerships, this data is now circulating. Social engineering risk against those contacts just went up meaningfully.
All right, let's pivot to the geopolitical block, because we have three China-linked stories today, and that's not a coincidence. Beyond the DeepSeek autonomous attack story, there's a campaign tracked by the Hacker News where a Chinese threat actor is running over 100 fake AWS sign-in pages alongside the DarkSword exploit kit, which is a leaked iOS exploit toolkit being used to deploy Ghostblade malware on Apple devices.
So let's unpack why this matters operationally. You've got credential harvesting at scale against AWS, which means cloud identity is the target, and simultaneously, iOS devices being hit with a publicly available exploit kit. The combination is nasty. Your executives log into AWS from their iPhones. If the device is compromised and the credential is harvested, you've lost both layers.
CISOs should be looking at two things immediately. One, your iOS MDM posture. Are you enforcing the latest iOS versions? Are you detecting jailbreak indicators? And two, your phishing simulation program. Does it cover cloud login spoofing? Most programs are still focused on email credential harvesting. Fake AWS sign-in pages are a different beast.
And then, on the Russian side, Microsoft formally attributed a campaign where Russian state-sponsored actors are compromising hotel Wi-Fi infrastructure globally to steal credentials and deploy espionage malware against travelers.
This one is personal for a lot of our listeners. Your executives travel, your security staff travels, your board members travel. The attack vector here operates at the network layer, which means it can bypass endpoint controls if your VPN discipline isn't airtight.
And let's be honest, VPN discipline on the road is terrible at most organizations. People connect to hotel Wi-Fi, dismiss the certificate warning, check their email. This is a policy enforcement problem as much as a technical one. If you don't have a mandatory always-on VPN policy for travel, today's the day to write one. And if you do have one, verify that it's actually enforced, not just recommended.
Brief your board members specifically. They are high-value targets, they travel frequently, and they are the least likely people in your organization to follow your security policies voluntarily.
Diplomatic way of putting it.
I'm a diplomat. All right, let's hit a couple more items quickly. CISA published new guidance on open-source software security, targeting federal agencies, but with implications well beyond government. The document covers OSS security management, contributing to open-source projects, and evaluating open-source AI systems. It emphasizes independent code review and reducing single-vendor dependency.
If you have federal contracts or operate in a regulated sector, treat this as a preview of future contractual requirements, not just guidance. CISA doesn't publish frameworks for fun. This is the groundwork for compliance expectations that will show up in procurement language within 12 to 18 months.
Agreed. And on the funding side, Horizon 3.ai hit a $2 billion valuation on a $250 million Series E. That's triple their valuation from roughly a year ago. The round was oversubscribed, co-led by Night Dragon and NEA.
The signal here isn't about Horizon 3 specifically. It's about market validation for autonomous continuous security validation as a category. Periodic pen testing on an annual or quarterly cadence was already struggling to keep up. When your adversaries are running AI autonomous attack chains, testing your defenses once a quarter is like checking your smoke detectors once a year and hoping for the best.
CISOs should be evaluating whether their current validation cadence matches the tempo of the threat environment they actually face, not the one they faced 2 years ago.
All right, looking ahead, the theme for this week and honestly for the rest of this year is the operational reality of AI autonomous offense. We've crossed a threshold. The Unit 42 report isn't a proof of concept or a research paper. It's a documented nation-state operation. The CrowdStrike data quantifies the signal overload that defenders are already drowning in. And the market is voting with capital that autonomous validation is the response.
What I'm watching is how quickly boards internalize the shift. The conversation has been AI might be used by attackers for 2 years. That conversation is over. AI is being used by attackers, autonomously, at scale, right now. The board question is no longer whether to invest in AI augmented defense. It's whether your current investment is keeping pace with the adversary's investment. And if you can't answer that question with data, you're going to have a difficult Q3 review.
And on the policy side, watch for acceleration in AI governance frameworks. When autonomous AI agents are conducting offensive operations, the regulatory pressure to govern defensive AI use will intensify. CISOs need to be at that table, not waiting for legal or compliance to hand them a framework to follow.
That's our show for today. Show notes and links to every story we covered are at cleartext.fm. We'll be back tomorrow.
Stay sharp out there.